You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined, as always, by Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, happy Mother's Day to you. The draft is passed. We've got a couple guys that we're going to talk about today. I'm really excited. What about you?
All same way, JB. It's the draft is over. You know, the Bears had 11 picks and then another 17, 18 guys for the UDFA market. So, you know, this roster churn has already started to happen.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about a couple of the draft picks. We're going to start, as we always do, we always start in the trenches. It worked out really well that we get to do that again here. We are starting with a conversation about the new center for the Bears, Doug Kramer out of Illinois. We're going to have an Illinois expert in here in a second. And I wanted to start off by sharing a couple of things that I'm really into. I'm into this relative athletic score from Math Bomb on Twitter. Kentley Platty is a good dude. I've met him a couple times, talked to him a few times. I'm using his stuff a lot, and I want to make sure I'm giving him credit because it's really cool stuff. But I want to share Doug Kramer's relative athletic score. And so what this does, and so for you that are listening that can't see this, there's a score that's calculated based on testing numbers and based on measurables. So, you know, height, weight, bench press, 40-yard dash, vertical jump, broad jump, things like that. Those are all compared against historical drafted players or undrafted free agents that catch on with teams that went through the pre-draft process, and they're ranked against them that position group. And Doug Kramer is quite the athlete, which was a little bit of a surprise when I first pulled up his RAS. And I'm comparing him on this first chart, for those of you that are viewing on the YouTube, to Sam Mustipher, which this is not to pick on Sam. You know, we both have talked about how Sam has done very well for himself and where he was drafted. And, you know, we like Sam Mustipher. It's just that clearly Ryan Poles was telling us that this was not the type of offensive lineman that he was looking for. And you can see a stark difference between Doug Kramer's relative athletic score and Sam Mustipher's. Doug Kramer's big score is 8.47, and it's lit up green, which means that it's in the top 20% of offensive center prospects. And Sam Mustipher's relative athletic score is a 0.90, which is a blinking red light, which is not good.
You know, it's the athletic profile. It's a 10-point scale, you know, which just kind of makes the RAS kind of nice. It's really easy to understand, you know. And again, when you look at a guy like Doug Kramer, you know, two of his red marks on here are height and weight. He's 6'2", 299, which is a little small for the NFL. But, you know, all his other numbers are green or yellow, which is pretty good. So the height and weight brings his overall number down quite a bit. You know, if it wasn't for that, which I think that's something he'll have to, you know, he'll have to add some size in the NFL, you know. But I mean, from an athletic profile, like it shows here, he fits what the Bears want to do.
Yeah, and I also have another one that I pulled up. And again, so those of you that are watching on YouTube can see this. And if you're listening to this, thank you. Also, maybe check us out on YouTube, as we're going to try to pull in some visuals over the year. This is Doug Kramer against the free agent that was signed, Lucas Patrick. And I think you can see what Ryan Poles liked here is that Doug Kramer is very similar to what Lucas Patrick was coming out in 2016 out of Duke. Similar scores. Lucas Patrick, a little bit of a better athlete, a little bit bigger of a guy. But you wonder if they're looking to try to make their own Lucas Patrick out of Doug Kramer.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's what the Packers did. When the Packers got Patrick, he wasn't a day one guy. It took him some time to really find his niche on the roster. And, you know, with Patrick, he played some guard, he played some center. And I think with Kramer, at some point, he'll have to show an ability to go play some guard as well. I think in college, he was mostly center. We'll find out more in a little while here, but I think that he'll, in order, you know, to bolster what he brings his value to an NFL team, you got to play more than just one position on the interior.
Yeah, it's interesting. Talking to EJ Snyder about Doug Kramer, you know, he had watched some Illinois offensive line tape for one of their other players, and they had a tackle that he was interested in. And he was like, yeah, Kramer didn't really stand out to me. Yeah. And, you know, and you've heard some things from our other colleague, Bill, who is kind of, Doug Kramer seems to spend a lot of time on the ground and not so much impressing him and leaping off the film. So we'll see what Drew has to say here. But any final thoughts before we welcome Drew in?
No, sounds good. Let's keep things rolling.
All right. So we are happy to be joined here by Drew. And I'm going to take a shot at your name, but go, please correct it. Me. Drew Pastorek.
Close. Ah. Pastorek.
Pastorek. Okay.
Emphasis on the middle syllable there. You're pretty close, though.
Yeah. Well, apologies. I figured I'd take a shot, but no, you good. Are from the Champagne Room. Yes. So Illinois guy, welcome to Bear and Balance.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. As a Bears fan and an Illini fan, this is kind of cool. So
nice.
Happy to be here.
Special interest for a guy like Kramer to be able to make the leap from Illini to Bear, or is, you know, does it give you a little extra special incentive to cheer for a guy like that?
I think it does. I mean, you saw what happened when Cole Kmet got drafted a couple years ago, right? I mean, like the whole town had like a parade for him. I mean, it was like, you know, you don't know what's going to happen long term. Of course, you know, he might not even make the team. We don't know. He might be the next Olin Krutz. He might be a guy that doesn't make it out of camp. We never know. But I think, you know, especially for me, someone who's on both sides of it, you know, an Illini fan and a Bears fan, you can't help but root for him. And, you know, I think based on what you guys were talking about a little bit earlier, you know, he seems to fit the profile of a guy Ryan Poles likes. You know, he's moldable. He might not be versatile in the sense that he can play guard or center. He might be kind of locked into one spot. He might be a center-only guy. But, I mean, Olin Krutz was pretty damn good as just a center-only guy. So I'm not saying he's Olin Krutz, but, I mean, the framework is there. He's a little, you know, average size, but – like the tables and the stuff you were just talking about, I mean, he's played in a run-oriented offense for 5 years. You know, he's a really good run blocker, and he's been able to, you know, showcase that he's, you know, he's tough, he's gritty. I wrote some stuff down. So,
oh man, gritty boy,
gritty.
George McCaskey was sold.
Go front, baby. So he doesn't have that, you know, elite, you know, quickness or agility that you might see from a first or second round pick, obviously. But, you know, 5 year starter, started 48 games at Illinois. You know, regardless of how good Illinois has been over that time period, like you're a 5 year starter at a Power Five school, like it's worth noting.
A lot of experience. That's good.
Yeah, for him, you know, absolutely. Three-time All Big Ten, three-time academic All Big Ten. Like, so, I mean, he's the goods. He's the real deal. Like, he's the kind of guy you want in your locker room. He might not be a 10, 15-year pro. He might not be an all-pro player, but he's definitely the type of guy that's a vocal leader. He leads by example. Brett Bielema said at some point during the year, he alluded to he and Jake Hansen, who was another a linebacker that was an undrafted free agent with the Texans, that, you know, those two guys, when they talked, people listened to them. Like, they, you know, what they say, the message they brought carries weight. And this is a new regime. I don't want to say it's a rebuild. I don't really think it's a rebuild, but you're starting over with a new GM, new coaching staff. I mean, those are the kind of guys that you want, you know, guys that are going to give you that buy-in, guys that are going to work their asses off. And, you know, whatever he lacks in the, you know, physical traits, he's going to make up for those intangibles and being tough and being ready to learn and absorb.
Well, you know, you talk about the physical, the athletic ability is there, right? I mean, that shows in the testing. The undersizedness being that he's, you know, only 6'2".
Right, he's not 6'5".
But that's for a center, that's center, fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't have that much of an issue. You know, 300 pounds is pretty light, but that's, you know, professional strength. Not light for a lot of us, but, you know, light for an offensive lineman in the professional league. You know, that's a little on the light side. But that's also what I think Ryan Poles is looking for, right? He's looking for a little bit of a smaller line in that scheme that he thinks can work. And so I'm not totally, too worried about that part of it. Obviously, I think he needs some time to get in and get some, you know, professional work with the nutritionist and all that kind of stuff to get his body where he needs to be. But not too worried about that piece of it. You mentioned something about the 5-year starter, which is awesome. Type of guy that you want in the locker room. Was he a team captain at all? Or, you know, how do you know that part of it?
Yeah, he was a 3-time team captain. So it goes back to what I said earlier, you know, two different coaching staffs, two different regimes, two completely different philosophies. And, you know, players, you know, listened to him, believed in him. You know, they saw those results on the field. He just delivered all the time. You know, like I said, he might not wow you on film or with the measurables, but he's going to be a really hardworking guy. And, you know, he's going to be dependable and stable and, you know, 3-time captain. And, you know, last time I checked, the center quarterback relationship is pretty important. So that might be something that works out well for, you know, I want to say it was like 11 or 12 quarterbacks. It probably wasn't, but it felt like it.
It sounds, yeah.
You know, especially during the Lovey years, there was, you know, some years they had 3 or 4 in a same season. So, I mean, there was a lot of instability there, and the one constant, a couple of constants, was the offensive line, and Kramer was a big part of that. So I don't think he's going to have any problem adjusting. It's like, you know, you're a stud in high school, right? You go to college and you're like, oh, everyone was a stud in high school. That's why we're here. You know, you get to college, it's like, oh, everyone was pretty good in college. That's why we're here. So I think what you said is correct. You know, get him in the weight room, get him with, you know, the nutritional staff and all of that. Illinois has got one of the best in football, and they've got one of the best strength and conditioning programs in all of college football, in my opinion. Their facilities are great. So he's not, you know, threadbare. He's not some guy coming in, you know, that is a project that, you know, maybe in 5 or 6 years you could, you know, do something with him. He's going to be ready to play. And I don't think it'll take long for him to adapt to any scheme or anything like that. So, I mean, he's a smart kid, ready to go, and you know, maybe not plug and play right away, but I think he fills a need there. I think he provides some depth to a position that has not performed as well as it could have been the last, you know, couple of years.
Well, the Bears are coming off a guy in Sam Musser, who was a former undrafted free agent. So, mm-hmm. you know, Bears fans have seen a guy that have kind of had those intangibles, you know, as far as his football IQ, you know, his understanding of the offense of line play. And they saw him kind of building stuff up to a point where he can get on the field. You know, now the Bears in the 6th round have taken a guy, you know, very similar to that, where he has the smarts, you know, he understands, you know, the leadership stuff, what it takes to be on the line. And, you know, he has a little bit of a higher pedigree, a little bit of a higher athletic profile. So if Doug Kramer is a guy that can kind of, you know, come in, you know, put his head down and go to work, and it sounds like that's the kind of guy he is, you know, he could be a guy that could eventually be a starter for the Bears at center.
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, Illinois has had a lot of linemen. The last couple of years, they've had a couple that have, like, stood out. Nick Allegretti, who plays for the Chiefs, is one of them. Another late-round guy, you know, stuck with it through a lot of lean times with the program. You know, he found a groove in Kansas City, and, you know, he's been, like, sort of a swing, you know, guard center. You know, he's been a starter, he's been a backup guy, he's been a flex guy. Kendrick Green, another guy with the Steelers, who was I think a 3rd round draft pick. I mean, he was regarded a little highly. I think his measurables were a little bit better. You know, his overall performance as far as, you know, run and pass blocking might have been a little bit better. But I mean, the Big Ten puts out a lot of linemen. You know, it you don't get to the Big Ten on the offensive line and stick around for 5 years and start 48 games because you can't play because you can't do it. So I certainly think that he has potential. You know, obviously a lot can happen. You never know. But yeah, as we said at the start, you know, as an Illinois fan watching him, you know, seeing how bad the program was at points during the Lovey tenure and then shifting to Brett Bielema, you know, he likes a physical, you know, downhill, you know, smash mouth kind of game. And Lovey had some more, you know, read option type stuff, you know, had more mobile quarterbacks, whereas Brett Bielema wants the more, you know, drop back style. So I think Justin Fields kind of combines those two, where obviously he can throw like as well as anybody in the NFL, but can also have some escapability and mobility. And Kramer's shown the ability that he can move in that respect. He is a very good run blocker. So I think he meshes those two traits together pretty well. And, you know, excited to see what he does in camp and moving forward. And, you know, I think we'll be seeing him on the field at some point, you know, in 2022. I really do.
You mentioned the, you know, run blockings, kind of the that's what you guys are doing, right? Mostly in the run game at Illinois. What was he expected to do? Was he, you know, a lot of double teams kind of trying to dig out big nose tackles? Was he getting to the second level to try to get linebackers? Was he doing any center pulling or anything fun like that? Like, what did you see out of him in terms of his responsibilities and what he was doing?
That's kind of tough for me as a 5'10", 170 pound guy.
Okay.
Here's what he's doing that you know.
Well, sometimes they'll highlight those like center pulls if that happens. It's a little bit more advanced, but
And Illinois had kind of a two-pronged thing last year. They had Chase Brown, who was more of a east-west, you know, guy. And then Josh McCray was like the bowling ball, like 6'1", 240, you know, like a Najee Harris kind of type build to him. So, I mean, I think he's flexible enough in the run game that he can handle both. From what I saw, and I'm not the tape guy. I don't sit and, you know, parse and, you know, obsess over it, but I mean, he's been able to block for various types of runners throughout his career. So whether that's quarterback, you know, whether it's, you know, split out, whether it's, you know, eye formation, straight ahead. So, I mean, I think that, whatever he's asked to do, he's got the tools and the smarts to make that work.
You know, I think that points to his intelligence. He's able to kind of, you know, thrive in two different schemes there. And then he's, of course, going to the NFL. Now he has a brand new scheme to learn here. But again, you talk about his leadership, you know, his intelligence on the field. You know, I think all of that points to it. Then is it, you know, he has 47, 48 games started in college. So all that bodes well for him moving forward. And again, we're talking about a sixth round draft pick. I mean, these guys, you know, the hit rate on these are, you know, 50-50 at best, you know? So, I mean, if worst case scenario, if he has to take some time on the practice squad, you know, I think that's fine because, you know, like we've talked about, the potential's there. You know, if you're going to bet on a guy late in the draft, you either go with traits as far as, and then those traits are either athletic, which he has, or you look for someone that has the football IQ to really, you know, grasp what he's learning here and move forward. And, you know, Ryan Poles wants a certain kind of guy. You know, they want that, like you said, the gritty guy. You know, they want the guy that is tough minded, but they also want a guy that is smart. And I think with Doug Kramer, he fits a lot of those intangibles that they want, which is why, you know, as fans, we see the upside and we see it there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you look at the Bears holistically last year, I mean, penalties, discipline was a big part of their issues. See, you're like, don't even get me started. Interestingly enough, the NFL Network, I don't know if you'd seen this earlier today, they were showing that Bears-Steelers game for Monday night. And it was like every third play, there was like an offsides or a false start or a holding. So like discipline's been a huge issue for this team forever. And, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be disciplined. He's going to stay focused. And, you know, especially, you know, being a center, you're having your hand on the ball all the time. So you've got to be mindful of that and those traits we talked about, you know, not just as a football player, but as a student athlete. You know, he's ready to work. He's dependable. He's tough minded. And I think he is the type of player that Ryan Poles would want. And as you mentioned, you know, it's a lottery ticket situation. You're hope if you draft five guys in the sixth round, you hope that, you know, maybe one of them makes the team and, you know, makes a really positive impact. And look at around the league. I mean, most of the teams comprise of fifth, sixth, seventh round guys. It's not all, you know, top 10 draft picks, second round. I mean, these are, you know, the glue guys that kind of hold your team together, that you build your team around. And, you know, the offensive line, and you had, you know, Jones and Carter, the other two draft picks that were more like projectable, that looked well, but they were from smaller schools. This is kind of the opposite. This is the guy who was at a Power Five school and didn't maybe have the off the charts measurable stuff. He's more of a ready to go guy, whereas those other two might be more of a project, in my opinion. But yeah, take a swing. And, you know, as I mentioned a couple of times, he's the guy you want in your locker room. You know, he's going to absorb that information and he's going to make it work, and he's going to translate that and make it transmittable on the field with whoever, you know, is under center.
Awesome stuff, Drew. Really appreciate it. I would wish the Illini good luck in the coming season, but to be honest with you, as a Hawkeye fan, I just don't really care.
And I live in Cedar Rapids, so
I'm from.
I'm surrounded by
black
and gold.
Black and gold everywhere, man.
Yeah, everywhere. Oh, by the way, Illinois does not have a rivalry with Penn State, but they do have one with Ohio State, which is even odder to me.
That doesn't make any sense.
The Illibuck Trophy, if you haven't seen that, you got to Google that. It's like it's like an otter turtle thing. I don't know where it came from.
It can't possibly be worse than the original Cy-Hawk Trophy when they re-engaged the Iowa State. Yeah. That is the worst looking trophy I've ever seen in my life.
Bad.
So
almost well, and the Iowa Nebraska one was pretty bad too, though. Like, was that like the farmers like holding hands? Was that the Cy-Hawk one?
The Cy-Hawk was like a farmer kneeling and handing like a bounty. That was the the original Cy-Hawk trophy, which is just
Wes, you gotta Google it, man. It's like
I'm gonna have to go look at those.
Yeah, it makes every like awful trophy or awful bowl game just look tame in comparison.
Really and they, to their credit, they ganked it, and
they said, let's get rid of it, let's move on. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Drew, really appreciate the knowledge, really appreciate the time coming on Mother's Day and all that. We'll look forward to talking to you in the future to check up on your feelings about Doug Kramer starting center for the Bears in 2023.
They just got to put a 57 on him, right? That's the cure, right?
Make him ornery, that's for sure.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Drew. You know, talking to Drew, the one thing that I'm really kind of hearing is, you know, 5-year starter. He said 48 starts. And then you've got a guy who was a team captain for 3 years, and he mentioned academic all conference or academic all American, whatever. Okay. So you've got a guy who played a lot of football. You got a guy that is intelligent. You know, he tested well. You know, again, the film might not be where you want it to be, but it's the genetic makeup of a guy that you want as that gritty guy that, hey, you know, we think this guy's got a chance to learn from Lucas Patrick and maybe that starting center next year.
You know, I kind of saw some of the same stuff that Bill saw, you know, when I was watching some of the film. You know, he does get on the ground some of this stuff, but, so, you know, some of that can be cleaned up, you know, with technique, you know, but you know, the experience is there. You know, he definitely fits. He just fits. Like one thing I looked at when the Bears draft was over, I went to the bios, and a lot of the draft class and the guys that the Bears signed, you know, former captains, they're involved in charities off the field. You know, they're the kind of type of player and the type of human being that this organization wants to bring in. And I thought that was kind of cool because, you know, they do have a type, you know, not just from on the field, which is the stuff that you wrote about on the profile you did a couple weeks ago, you know, but off field as well. Is they want a guy that, you know, are good for the community, that are good football players. And I think I think we're seeing that now with Ryan Poles.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing for a new general manager or a new coach or whatever to come in and say, you know, this is what we're building and we want culture and we're into this and we're into that. And then, you know, you get that opportunity to bring that guy in that has a few red flags, but he's really good at football.
Yeah.
And that like story that they tell you at the beginning sort of goes out the window, and they start bringing in these guys that, you know, don't really reflect the type of culture or what we feel like our locker room that we've built can handle a guy like this. And then, you know, things implode. Like, we're going to bring in Martellus Bennett and Brandon Marshall and everything's going to be, and Jay Cutler's the quarterback and everything's going to be fine. Right. And eventually it's just the powder keg, right? It's going to blow up on you. And so I wanted to mention another thing. We talked about Olin a little bit, and I'm not going to talk about that stuff with Olin, but one of the things that Olin really defended about Sam Mustipher was just how good he was at the mental processing piece, yeah, being able to see, you know, the defense and call out protections and
in the line set. Yeah. That's key for a center. You have to understand the pass pro. I mean, it's all about the pass pro at the NFL level. If the center can take that responsibility and it's not something the quarterback has to be, you know, really worried about. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the quarterback has final call. So when it's set, if something happens, something changes, the quarterback has to make that change. But it's the center, the smart centers, they got to get things set quickly.
Yeah, it's the guys that have been around for a long time, they have to be able to do that. You know, sometimes a quarterback, especially a veteran quarterback, they can take the pressure off of a young guy, and they can make the line calls. And some of those quarterbacks prefer it, right? Like, that they want to be the ones that are making the line calls. But you know, most of these guys that have been around a long time, these centers that stick around, from the mental aspect, that's what they're doing. That they are the ones that are making those line calls. And if a guy like Kramer has, you know, and again, an academic all conference, academic American, that could just mean that he's really good at whatever he majored in. And that doesn't necessarily always translate onto football smarts. But if, like, there is a bit of, you know, some correlation there, the where, you know, if you're a smart guy, generally you can translate that onto the field. So hopefully that's something that he's going to be able to do. And you know, he won't be allowed on the field until he gets there, but that's something I'm looking for. But I think that profile, we don't have enough data. It's only one draft and it's only one free agency period, but that profile that we're starting to build about what Ryan Poles wants to do here, I think there's some valuable information in this draft class. And like you said, a lot of team captains, a lot of guys that are involved in the community, you know, we've got an academic all, you know, performer here. That stuff's going to, I'm starting to tally that.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I mean, Matt Eberflus wants, you know, his hits principle, you know, it's hustle. It's all about going, you know, 100% at all times when you're on the field. And yes, that's for his defense, but he also wants that for his offense as well. Which kind of goes in lockstep with Ryan Poles. He wants his O-line, you know, play through the whistle kind of mentality. And that goes with the hits principle. So, you know, if you're seeing this, you know, the head coach and the GM, they both have the exact same idea. And the more we've learned here, we kind of see why Poles picked this head coach. You know, we see how their philosophies kind of mesh. And it makes a lot of sense, you know, as fans looking now, like, yeah, I can see why they got the coach, they have the players, you know, the guys in free agency, you know, it's all the, you know, it'll be so cool at some point in a few years, we look back and say, oh yeah, that's a Bears guy in the draft. You know, when the right. Bears pick a guy, you're like, that's the guy. Of course, that's a Bears guy. I mean, that's going to be so cool at some point if the Bears can get their franchise to a point where we're seeing that as fans, because when you have that, you know, then you do have that culture. The culture that permeates through the entire organization. You know, they all have the same, you know, the same goals. They're all going the same direction. And, you know, like you talked about, then at that point, maybe you do, you know, roll the dice for the guy that comes in with a couple flags, maybe, you know, but where this young roster is now, they're not in a position to do that. You know, and that could be why we saw them, you know, and a few other teams passing a guy like George Pickens in the draft, because, you know, there were a few question marks. And, you know, seeing that now, we're like, yeah, I guess that does make sense why they would pass at him and go with a guy like Velus Jones, who, you know, so far through the first minicamp, you know, he seems like, you know, he fits all the profiles, you know, from an athletic standpoint, you know, really smart guy, you know, he comes, you know, ready to work. So, you know, you can see it. It's starting to show.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Again, it's not, you don't have enough data where you can say, like, I know exactly the types of guys that he's going to go after. But if he continues down this path, it does create a profile, and it's something that we can use as a little bit of a predictor tool, right? Where it's like, you know, in the past, he really hasn't been willing to sacrifice what he's building to take a guy like George Pickens. A lot of teams weren't, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that you fell. Yeah.
All the Bears fans, me included, was like, hey, George Pickens, 39, let's do it. And clearly there were some issues, that at least perceived issues by the general manager and general managers of a lot of teams. Fine. Right. We don't know that. We aren't in on the interviews. We're not privy to the medical reports. Right. And we can only evaluate so much, but you know, I was struck by what you said in terms of, well, that's a Bears guy. That's a Bears pick. Right. And I'm thinking about some of these longtime general managers, like, you know, Howie Roseman with the Eagles, or you know, like Ozzie with the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Ravens just did it. With, you know, Ozzie's not there. It's not Eric DaCosta, but they just their first round. You know, they take a couple guys, and it's like, it's just such a Ravens pick. They took the best player. You know, they got the guy that they want. They're going to fit perfect. That guy's going to be a 10, 12 year starter for them, and it just makes sense, right? It's just this their approach. How they do things, people just know, like, that's the Ravens. Be nice if it was like, man, dang, the Bears got a good one. You know, you know what the Bears are doing, and they stick to their philosophy and they keep plugging guys in that fit the system.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. The ultimate goal is a franchise to have that long-term guy, you know, that long-term success, you know, the Patriot way, you know, so to speak, you know, about what they do as organization. And you know, it didn't happen with, you know, Pace. Didn't happen before with Emery, you know, Jerry Angelo before that. I mean, it just hasn't been the sustained success in this organization. It's been a long time. I mean, you know, I'm a bit older than you. So I remember back when there was a Bear way, when there was a Bear philosophy, when they did have that. It's been a long time.
I mean, that had to be way back. Right. What are you talking about? Like,
well, I mean, like the 80s, they had a lot of sustained success. The draft they had there, you know, they had, you know, the defensive mindset, you know, they had Peyton at the tailback. So, you know, they had a nice philosophy, a nice run in the 80s, you know, only one title, you know. But as far as a fan cheering for a team where they're always in the playoff mix, I mean, that's all we can ask for. If we can get the Bears to a point where every year they're in the mix, you know, I mean, the Packers, I mean, a lot of Bears fans will make jokes about the Packers have like, what, two titles in the last 30 years?
So I'd kill for that.
You know, but they're always in the mix. They're always in the playoffs. They always got a shot, you know, and that's, man, as fans, that's all we want. I mean, yes, I want, you know, multiple titles.
Sure.
That's not realistic. You know, that's the Patriots. That's Tom Brady. That doesn't happen very often. So if you can have a team that's always there, always competing, that's all we can ask for.
Yeah, I just, you know, I would just like one, you know, but I'm not going to get greedy. I'm like, I want five, right? Well, I want to talk about Jaquan Brisker, and we're going to welcome our second guest on here in a little bit.
You want to take a quick commercial break for the pod?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's pay some bills. Let's let somebody pay for the drinks later on tonight.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, Lester. So let's talk about Jaquan Brisker. So I'm excited about this guy. I'm excited to hear a little bit more about him. I want to do the same thing we did with Kramer. I'm going to share relative athletic score and I'm going to set up Clay here. We're going to bring on here in a minute, but relative athletic score. And I pulled Adrian Amos, Penn State alum as well. And man, they're similar. They're both really athletic. Brisker's a little taller and a little leaner, a little fat and, you know, a decent amount faster, but very similar athletically. And I just think of how well Amos and Brisker work together on the back end. Amos and Eddie Jackson work together in the back end. And if Brisker can allow Jackson to return to form, I mean, that this is one of those picks that may be making other guys better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the first thing that jumped off to me was like, oh man, not just because they're both from Penn State, but this could be a pretty nice addition to really tie that secondary together.
Well, this is the comp that a lot of Bears fans make because, you know, the last time the Bears had two quality safeties was when it was Eddie Jackson and Amos. So if Brisker can bring some of the same stuff that we saw with Amos, I mean, that's a win, you know, with a guy like Amos. He was, I believe, a fifth round draft pick. So no one really expected him to have that. He did not have the same pedigree that the Bears have now in Brisker. You know, Brisker, the upside is way higher than it was with Amos. Amos has had a hell of a career. You know, he's made a ton of money. He's had some Pro Bowls. So he is, you know, has, you know, he maximized his talent. He did everything he could with it. You know, he's on a good path. Brisker though, man, the sky's the limit. And, you know, you hear some fans talk about the value of a safety in the second round. And I get that, you know, because there's, you know, but you have to look at how the board was stacked. And it's at some point, we're assuming as fans, that Brisker was pretty high on their board, you know. And yes, the value may not be there as a safety. But once they get on the field, you know, once we see how he performs, all that goes out the window, you know, the draft status, I don't care about it. You know, pretty much in my mind, draft status is done now. They're pros now. Get on the field, get a camp, perform. And if he does that and he wins a job as a starter day one, which I think he has a good shot at doing that, that's a pretty damn good draft pick.
Heck yeah. And it really makes the Cruikshank pickup in free agency make a little bit more sense. That's a guy that you can bring in on a big nickel situation. And I compared him on Bears Over Beers. I said it was like the Big Lebowski, the dude's rug, just really ties the room together.
It does.
Really feel like this guy's tying the secondary together. I'm really excited about it. But well, without further ado, Lester, let's bring on our next guest, Clay. name that I'm not quite sure how to pronounce, but let's try it. Sauerteig.
Close enough. That works.
Okay. Clay writes for Penn State Rivals and GBT Sports. Welcome to Bear and Balance.
Thanks for having me, guys. Glad you reached out. Looking forward to talk some Jaquan Brisker. Fantastic player, also a fantastic kid. Always nice to know when you're getting a good guy in the room. And looking forward to kind of chatting it up with you guys.
Well, I talked a little bit about their athletic profiles and how, you know, Adrian Amos, also a Nittany Lion, and how they kind of reminded me of each other. But you just mentioned right off the top that he's a really good guy. And this is a recurring theme with Chicago Bears draft picks under the new general manager, Ryan Poles. Can you expand on that a little bit? Tell us, you know, why that was one of the first things that you wanted to talk about with Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, he's somebody I've been around the program last handful of years since he's been as a beat writer, gotten the chance to talk to Jaquan a number of years. Really humble kid, really hardworking. I know there was some issues with some comments made, but again, I think the point there being a very hardworking guy who loves football, very thoughtful in his answers, not a lot of one-word answers in terms of post-game interviews. Happy to talk about the game as much as his development. A really good relationships guy. I mean, we had Penn State just had blue-white game, and they're going to have a safety coming out next year named Jair Brown, who's going to be probably a second, third-round pick, who talked about how much Jaquan helped him grow, not just at Penn State, but his teammates beforehand at Lackawanna Community College. I think that's another big thing. People sometimes look at JUCO guys and go, "Ah, your grades, what's the issue there?" But to me, it shows that his growth, did everything he needed to do at Lackawanna to get here. Came to Penn State and was immediately a very useful player. Made huge strides between his first year and second year, and then second year and third year. And I think there might even be another level there. A very intelligent player. I really think that in the modern NFL, particularly in sub packages where he can come down and play against the run, you're getting a heck of a player.
Yeah, you mentioned him coming out of the box, and you know, he's not the biggest of guy, but when you watch him on film, you know, he will stick his nose in there, he will set the edge, he will do whatever it takes, he will fill that gap. And I think from a physical standpoint, he has all that what it takes to be in the NFL.
Yeah, to me, it's not only that he has the sideline speed, but he's not the type of guy too that's gonna run himself out of plays. I mean, he's diagnosis quick and he makes a beeline to the ball. He's not gonna get lost in terms of play action or counter action or things like that. A very heady player to go along with the athletic ability. And I heard you mention before I came on positional value. I think had it not been for the lack of positional value for a safety, he's a first round level prospect towards the back end there.
Yeah, it's interesting. On my other podcast host, EJ Snyder, really gets into the scouting aspect of all of this. He said that Brisker was the most scheme agnostic safety in the draft, meaning that he could have gone anywhere and been successful because his reps were split, coming down into the box and filling in the run fits. He was, covering tight ends, carrying them up the field. He's able to sit back as a free safety. Is that how they used him at Penn State? Was that, is that basically a position for your defense where, you want a safety that can be that versatile, or was it because of Brisker that they were able to do all those different things?
I would say a very dynamic player. I would say in his junior year, he had to be more of that free safety role because the safety playing opposite him was not quite as strong. This year, he had the advantage of working with Jair Brown, who I mentioned, who I think is going to be an NFL player, could come up in the box, was a fantastic blitzer, could make plays around the line of scrimmage, but he's also able to drop back in coverage, to diagnose plays, to kind of carry guys up the field. The interception numbers don't show that way, but he wasn't thrown towards a lot. Had a big interception towards the end of the game against Wisconsin that sealed that. Had a number of big plays, run stops to keep them in games against Ohio State and against Michigan. A very, very versatile player who I think most times you'd like him to be able to kind of get up around there and cause havoc, whether it's blitzing or against the run, but is very, very capable in coverage as well.
Yeah, that's the NFL these days. You have to cover. I know a lot of fans, they want to think you on a traditional free safety and a traditional strong safety, but that's not always the case. I mean, in the modern NFL, both guys have to cover. And I know a lot of Bears fans will look at a guy like Eddie Jackson, and he's not the most physical guy. His tackle comments that he's made in the past have, not been the best comments to make, but he will stick his nose in there on occasion, but he is better used in a different role. But I think with the pairing of these two, it really brings the entire secondary together. Of course, the Bears also have Gordon, who they got, a previous pick in the second round. So the Bears secondary overall, it's one of the most improved position groups in the entire on the entire team.
And Brisker to me is, I saw you mentioned the RAS there was 199 at the combine. He played probably closer to 205, 210. So I don't know whether he was dropping weight there for a 40 time, but he'll play a little bigger than that. And it's not going to be an issue against the run. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there. He was injured a little bit, but never miss time. He had a shoulder injury early on against Wisconsin, and I don't think he missed a game throughout the year and didn't miss many snaps. So the toughness issue is not an issue there. Really, really well adjusted to today's game in terms of his versatility. And like I said, a smart player. He's not going to run himself out of plays. He's not going to know what his assignments are. I really think that that's something that it wouldn't shock me if we find out that he came in and absolutely aced interviews.
Yeah, I think that's a recurring theme that we're seeing out of this draft class. I like to call these types of players agents of chaos, because they basically act as like a queen on the chessboard, where you can really maneuver them around the field and really give yourself a lot of flexibility. So that's why I'm really excited about Brisker. You mentioned that in your answer before this, that he didn't have the interception numbers that you might want, you know, the eye popping numbers or something like that, but he wasn't really thrown to. I'm curious if you can remember back to Amos, if he was like this in college, because in the pros, Amos didn't really make a lot of the splash plays, but mm-hmm. he was always in the right position. Like he saw the field well, he knew his position, and he always just was in the right place at the right time. And that's why he always got really high grades mm-hmm. from PFF, was because he was just a smart player. And so, but he didn't make those big interceptions mm-hmm. or anything like that in the pros. What kind of turnover ability do you see Brisker having? Either, you know, does he have the ball skills to go up and get it if he's in coverage and has an opportunity, and does he force fumbles at all?
And to me, I think that you mentioned the Amos thing. He had the advantage of starting his career at corner and then playing free safety and then playing strong safety at Penn State. So he came in, I think, with that knowledge that was very, very useful for Brisker. If the play's there to be made, he's gonna make it. He has good hands. I don't think he's going to be chasing interceptions, which I think is, I mean, to me can be a good thing. You know, you're not going to get burnt. He's physical enough to stick his hat in there and force fumbles. He'll get it under the pile. Again, I don't know that I would consider him like a ball hawk, but he's certainly able to track the ball. And if the play is there to be made, he's going to make it.
You know, he described himself as an old school safety. And I know a lot of Bears fans,
yep, yep.
You know, when Bears fans hear that, you know, Bears fans think of, you know, a great safety from yesteryear. And then one that comes to a lot of mind is Mike Brown, who was a guy that played similar. He was a strong safety type, but he had some good ball skills as well. So, I mean, if Brisker can kind of, you know, come in and fill that similar role, like you guys talk about, you know, a do it all kind of guy. It's just such a great fit for what this Matt Eberflus defense wants to do.
And to me, the name that comes to mind, and I'm not saying he's going to be this level of player because I don't think that would be fair, but a larger version of a Bob Sanders, a guy that's really going to hunt the ball, whether that's in coverage or just coming downhill. He's going to throw his head in there and make some tackles, but he didn't miss many tackles. He's not going to go chasing the big hit and suddenly there's a guy 10 yards down the field. But really, really smart player who just, you look up and you're like, oh, look, he's around the ball again.
Clay said it. He's the next Bob Sanders.
Oh, man, that would be great.
Hey, if he's a 10-time Pro Bowler, I said it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll give you credit, man. Well, any final thoughts or any? Do you got another question, Lesser?
We're good. I mean, I think with a Sanders is a good comp though, because they played in similar defenses. You know, it's the Tampa 2 style of defense. I mean, yeah, what the Bears are doing this coming up season, not the same thing that, you know, the Colts did back with Dungy, and you know, the Bears, of course, they would love you, but it's similar schemes. It's similar mentality you want out of the safety position. And Brisker has that. I mean, you know, with Clay talked about how he came from a JUCO. You know, those guys are fighting for everything. He wasn't a top recruit out of high school. He had to earn his stripes in Penn State, and he got there on campus, and he did just that.
And to me, I think it's lastly, the one thing I would note is it's important to note that he could have went to the draft last year. He probably would have been a third or fourth round pick, but he would have tested well like he did this year, would have had good tape, but came back, made huge strides again, turned himself into a borderline first-round pick. And I think that there's something to be said for players that are happy to push themselves and see whether there's a next level beyond that next level. So that while I think that Jaquan Brisker is ready for the NFL currently, I think that there could be a better player in there even more so.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I love to hear that, man. That's good stuff. I'm so excited to watch him in camp and see him step on the field when the games crank up. But Clay, really appreciate the insight and really appreciate you jumping on here on a Sunday. We'll see you down the line. Maybe we'll keep drafting Penn State players.
Not a problem, guys. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Clay.
See you.
I mean, the first thing he said was he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Right. Like he's a, you know, he's a good interview. He gives thoughtful answers. You know, he's someone who worked really hard to get where he was. Again, I think we're starting to see what Ryan Poles is interested in bringing into this organization and how he's trying to shape the foundation of what his Chicago Bears are going to look like. And I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty exciting.
Smart, heady football players, you know, good athletic profile. You know, this is a guy, like I talked about, you know, he had to fight for everything he's got. And I didn't realize that he thought about coming out, you know, last year, but that's another thing. That's to me, that's a big plus in his corner that he wanted to do it one more year. He wanted to, you know, show what he had. And man, can you imagine if there's even more better football in front of him? Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Keep fighting, keep developing. Yeah. It's really interesting stuff. So, well, we'll wrap up here, this podcast. That's a little insight into Jaquan Brisker, a little insight into Doug Kramer earlier in the show. Appreciate both of those guys jumping on. If you're interested in Big Ten football, I'd say that those guys are worth following. So, you know,
the Champagne Room and the Black Shoe Diaries, both the SB Nation college sites. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't watch a lot of college football, but I appreciate these guys that really live and die this stuff and are able to jump on and give us some insight into these players. And of course, I won't be cheering for either Penn State or Illinois because, you know, you've got to cheer for the Hawkeyes. And he mentioned a Hawkeye, so at least he's in good class there. But what do you got going on at the site? Anything interesting that we want to make sure people know about?
You know, just today, the Bears actually made a couple roster moves, so that's up on the site right now, actually. They made some tweaks with our undrafted free agents. And speaking of undrafted free agents, I'm actually going to be back here on Second City Gridiron and the podcast channel as well with Jacob Infante on Wednesday nights. I'm going to have Jacob on, who was, of course, our lead draft analyst, and he is going to break down all of the undrafted free agents the Bears got. I mean, we know pretty much the 11 draft picks pretty good by now. But let's learn a little bit more about these, I think it's 18 undrafted free agents. So I'm going to have Jacob on Wednesday. We're going to talk about that.
Good stuff. Well, we'll get out of here for the podcast. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please go on and do that. Second City Gridiron. Follow us on Twitter as well. And we will see you down the line. And until next time, bear down. All right. Cool. Well, nice. I don't know if anybody has any questions in the comments, but we'll take those real quick before we
sign off. There was one asking about Olin Krutz RAS. I don't know if Olin has an RAS card, but those are really easy to find. You go to you can go to Twitter.
Look it up.
Yeah, you're going to look it up now? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure he has one. I think I looked one time before, but
Yeah, what else is there? Anything else?
And then another one about Brisker. Yeah, with John, I agree. You know, it's nice that he could be a plug-and-play starter, but the fact that he has to be a plug-and-play starter is bad news for the Bears because, man, I mean, if they would have done a little more in free agency, I think that would be better. But again, if the Bears are getting two plug-and-play starters on day two of the draft, that really ties the entire secondary together. And then you mentioned Cruikshank, and you know, he is a good guy that comes in as a big nickel or a dime because he does come in and he cover guys out of the slot, the tight ends. And then you have a guy like DeAndre Houston Carson, who I think is a good serviceable backup. He can kind of play that do-it-all role back there as well. Oh, there's Krutz right there.
Now, the film on Krutz coming out was great.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to remember that. I mean, this guy's a football player.
Third-round draft pick, but he was just even in college, he was a nasty guy. You know, just he played with an edge.
Right, but the testing numbers, you know, weren't quite as good. Yeah. And but you know, I mean,
undersized was Krutz coming out. I remember that knock on him. You know, when he came out, they said that. And you know, but you know, I'm not trying to compare Kramer and Krutz because that's you know, we're talking about a borderline Hall of Fame guy in Krutz and a guy who just was a 6th-round draft pick. But you know, you do see some of the same technical stuff from both those guys coming out. You know, Krutz was undersized. He was a technically sound player. Kramer's kind of got that as well. He got some stuff to clean up, of course, but it was you know, I'm excited on all of the Bears that you know, day three draft picks. There's a lot of guys there, and you know, who knows? I mean, like Drew said earlier, if just one of those guys hits, that's a win because you don't expect your day three guys to come in and be, you know, big time contributors. But the way things line up now, one of those guys could be starting.
Yeah, and I mean, I get what you're saying. It's that I get what John's saying, that it's not there's no competition for him, so it's easy to fill a, you know, blank void, you know, like you're saying. But I also
the potential's there. The upside,
like he's got upside, right? Yeah, and this could be a guy that. I mean, I'm excited to see what he looks like next to Eddie. Okay, I love Eddie Jackson. I know that's not a popular opinion. I know he's had a couple rough years, but you know, still love the player, and you want to see if that unlocks him. If it doesn't, it's also an Eddie Jackson replacement, right? Like Eddie Jackson, you know, may not, if he can't come back up to that level of play, then Eddie Jackson may be, you know, on the chopping block next year. So, you know, this roster is going to be reimagined. You know, I'm kind of remembering stories about when Dicka was hired and came in like one of his first team meetings, or his first team meeting basically said something to the effect of look around because most of you guys are going to be here next year.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of that, right? I mean, you're in a new regime. You know, there's a lot of, this is a gap year, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, they're not necessarily expecting.
I like reset. That's what I call it. I call it the reset
year. I called it a soft reset. And, you know, Brandon said, what's soft about it? I was like, it just doesn't feel like a hard reset because you're not getting any quarterback. So kind of a gap year to try to reset the books a little bit. But yes, a reset, a gap year, whatever you want to say. I think that this year can be a lot of fun, though. It might not be a lot of fun in the win-loss record, but it's going to be a lot of fun to see what these guys have, to see this culture change, and see where this goes and see if it works. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the draft was, you know, I wasn't as excited about all the picks, you know, at the time, but the more I go into them, I look at them, I see what they're bringing to the Bears, and then, of course, you know, the minicamp happens and the players are talking, the coaches are talking. You know, it's hard as a fan not to get excited. And of course, yes, this is the time of year when everyone's excited. It's a time for hope, but I'm okay with that. I'm a Bears fan. First and foremost, I want to see my team win. And, you know, right now we do have some hope. You know, there is something there. Justin Fields, you know, the arrow is pointing up for him, the offense, the arrow is pointing up for the offense, you know, Velus Jones is as upset as most Bears fans were at that pick. I think we're starting to see, we're envisioning what they can do with him. He's not going to be a top tier guy. He's coming in to fill a role. And again, third round draft pick. He's not a top pick. You know, you're not expecting him to come in and be a top dog from the start, but coming in a nice role within the offense, you know, some other guys who help some other guys fall into place within what they want to do. It's exciting right now. So let's be excited.
Yeah. It's one thing to say, I just wish they would have drafted Hall of Famers with every pick, you know, and I wish they would have drafted five wide receivers and, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty okay with what happened. And I'm getting more and more excited as I learn more about these young men and what they're bringing to the team and what Poles' vision is. And I think that's, you know, what we're trying to do is trying to figure that stuff out and share that and try to help piece that stuff together. So, yeah, if you guys like this sort of thing, again, we'll keep trying to track down some of these college guys, see if we can bring some more on to get some insight. Might be hard to find some of these smaller schools, but you know, we'll reach out to them and see if we can bring on some beat writers and see what's going on. It's a little easier with the Power Five.
Yeah.
won't lie. yeah, good stuff. I think we can probably close it out here. And any final thoughts from you?
Sounds good. It's Mother's Day. I got to go spend some time with my wife.
Yeah, I got to go get dinner going. So, all right, guys, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.